I guess I can say recently, meaning over the last couple, 2 or 3 months, I've become aware of a teaching that has been gaining strength in the body of Christ worldwide, really. And it's really the prophetic move in the earth. And by that, I mean there's a particular group of people who are respected worldwide as prophets. They hear from God. They speak to the world what God is doing at certain times and in different ways. And we are in agreement with the prophetic message that is being given to the earth at this time. So when these guys begin to bring that particular message, I'm trying to be careful with it. I'm going to introduce you to it today, but I want to start by saying we are in agreement with what the prophets are saying is going on planet Earth these days. That's what that conference we watched on the videos, that's what the prophets are saying God is doing in the earth at this time. And I want to show you a foundation for receiving that message that will be almost straight up from the words of Jesus. That'll show you it's the Lord speaking. That'll show you it's New Testament for right now. But, well, let's begin. Let me let the word do the talking here. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Most popular prayer probably in the world, the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, as it's known. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He goes on to say, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." I will be talking to you at length in the weeks and months to come about the kingdom of God. We want to be aware what Jesus had to say about it. We want to be aware of everything we need to know about it. We'll start with some of the basics here today. Jesus gave us a prayer that we should pray often with these words. I just want to start your thinking with this. Was it a prayer that he expected would be answered in our lifetime? I think it was. Certain things about his return, but when he said, "Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," I believe he was giving the mission of the church to us, that it would be his purpose to use us to establish his kingdom here on the earth. We want to learn a couple of things about the kingdom today. By the way, those outlines that I print up for you back there, Vicki, I did take your little word of encouragement. I'm trying to be more meticulous about the points I want you to walk out the door with. You're going to see some basic points. What do we need to know about the kingdom of God on earth? Number one, it ought to look something like the kingdom of God in heaven. Let me tell you briefly about the kingdom of God in heaven. It's not a democracy. If you're alive on planet Earth, you want to live in America where there's a democracy. Thank you, President Trump, for saying we don't want socialism in America. That's as political as I'll get. I want to be free to worship my Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want the government telling me how to pray or how to do anything else. Really? Side note.
Preach it.
Well, fair enough. We want democracy. We want to be free. We want to be able to make choices with respect to everything. But in heaven, it's not a democracy, it's a theocracy. God is the king, he's on the throne. And by the way, his closest associates, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're one with him in a way that no human can be. Well, a human filled with the Holy Ghost can be another sermon. But let's just say that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's the ruling class. And there'll never be any division or disagreement between the three of them, because they are one. Now, as the kingdom authority structure is set up and played out here on the earth, it's going to reflect that. God has the heavenly host. I got a revelation on the heavenly host. It was kind of funny, I had to laugh. We think of the heavenly host. Well, it must be a lot of, you know, archangels and then regular angels and the people who have died and gone up there. It must be. But I got a revelation on the heavenly host. You know, when Jesus comes back riding on his white horse, you think it's going to be Trigger from the Lone Ranger? It ain't. It's going to be some spiritual creature. And the best way to describe it from a natural sense is like a white horse, but it's going to be one spiritual creature. And it's a part of the heavenly host. So I'm thinking, boy, the Lord opened my eyes to that. Let him open our eyes to some stuff here. The heavenly kingdom has the heavenly host, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit at the head, angels, high ranking and authority structure with angels, and it's a setup that won't be rattled. And even when Satan came against the heavenly authority structure, God kicked him out with a word, and he was banished from the kingdom. That's what a war with Satan looks like. God kicks him out with a word. However, it's been pointed out to us, our seminar stuff. You know, God sort of handicapped himself a little bit because he can banish Satan from everything with a word, but he's chosen to bring us into his authority structure. And the word says, we have been made a little lower than angels. Now that's a authority structure situation, but understand it for what it is. We walk the earth in the flesh, and that gives us authority here as God's ambassadors in the flesh. We represent the kingdom, we operate for the kingdom, we do the battle, and angels are at our disposal for those heavenly purposes. But that's the kingdom structure, all right? We have authority here because God gave us to us to subdue the earth with. So anyway, it's the kingdom on earth will resemble the kingdom of in heaven. And when the kingdom is set up the way it's supposed to be and functioning properly, it will provide us protection from temptation by Satan. Temptation will always be possible because we have a body of flesh. And yet, if we see the kingdom established the way God has ordained it to be, we will be so protected from temptation that we will never, technically, we never need to give in to it, and we certainly don't need to be hauled off by the enemy. Because the kingdom of God set up properly, protection from temptation, and in fact, protection from the evil one. Matthew 16, 18, I say to you, you are Peter on this rock. We're going to have more on this in the next slide, but for now, Jesus said to Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you remember the rest of that teaching, Jesus is asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say this. Okay, Peter, what do you say? You're the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You're the anointed one. Jesus said, I'm going to build my rock, my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I have known, if you'd have asked me 30 years ago, what does ecclesia mean? My answer would have been, well, it's the Greek word for the New Testament church. I know that. I'm pretty sure most of us have heard that teaching. A new twist on it. Actually, when Jesus said to Peter, I will build my church, he used the word ecclesia. At the time Jesus spoke that word, it was not a Christian term. It was not a Jewish synagogue kind of a term. It wasn't a term that anybody in the religious community was using. It was a term used by the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire at that time was in the business of conquering the known world. Okay? They'd conquered Israel. They were subject to the Roman government. And when the Roman government would conquer a country or a city or a region, they would send in an ecclesia. And what an ecclesia was, Vicki, you chose the word ambassador by the Holy Spirit. They were ambassadors from the Roman Empire. They went to the country that they just conquered, and they said, we're here to tell you and to teach you. And by the way, the Roman ecclesia, they were there with swords and shields and army guys and probably policemen, whatever they had. And they said, by the way, you will comply with the rules of the new kingdom you just became part of. They would teach them, and they would train them and they would instruct them how to function in the new kingdom, follow its laws, keep the emperor happy. They would teach him all of that stuff. So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, my ecclesia, he was saying, I'm going to raise up a group of ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Now they knew what he meant when he said that because they had the Roman ecclesia around them, teaching them how to function in the Roman Empire. Jesus said, I'm going to raise up ambassadors. You will go into the world and you will teach them how my kingdom works. You will teach them how to keep God happy. You will teach them how to follow the Holy Spirit. You will teach them how to have the blessings of God in this new kingdom authority structure that I'm going to set up on earth. And I want it to run down here like it does up here. So we want the revelation that we are, as the church of God, ambassadors to bring the kingdom of God into this earth. Finally, in Mark 4:8, the devil took him up, Jesus, on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Something to get in the right perspective in our minds. Before Jesus went to the cross, Satan had legal authority to take advantage of anyone or any authority structure that he set his sights on. Why did he have the right to do that? Garden of Eden. God set up an authority structure, and here's what it looked like. I'm God, you're my people, just do what I say, you'll be fine. I want you to tend the garden, and this is real important. The first word that God gave Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Now, you've heard me say this over the years, but it's the heart of this new, it's not new. This teaching's been around since the 70s, more on that. But as I introduce to you what will sound kind of new, because we haven't championed it in here. And by the way, that's because it wasn't time. The time is now. That's why this message is gaining the strength that it is. But in the Garden of Eden, when God said to Adam and Eve, subdue the earth, you've heard this before. What needed subdued in the earth at that time? Everything was good. Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, didn't know what sin was. They didn't know right from wrong, hadn't eaten from that tree. All they knew was when God spoke, we just need to obey whatever he says, and he wants us to do some things around here. So they went about the business of doing it. They had authority from God to subdue the earth. Let's start putting it in this terminology. They had authority over his kingdom that he was now setting up on the earth to operate the way it was operating in heaven. So off they went. First thing, here comes the devil, looking like a snake. Do you really have to obey God? Look at this tree. It's beautiful. Listen. And this is the way the devil works today. Listen to me. You don't have to listen to God. He just doesn't want you to be like him. He's worried about you. He's binding you up so you can't have fun. He's lying to them, and they buy it. And now they use the authority that God gave them, and they listen to Satan. And Satan, who had no authority unless he could get you to believe him. Do you realize that's the situation today? Satan has no authority in this earth. And when he showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world, he said, these are mine to give. And they were. But when Jesus died on the cross, took the punishment that we deserve, and he left his disciples with the word that said, I've given you all authority. Now go in my name, do the works I did. Came up by the Spirit already. Do the works I did. You'll be doing even greater things. I'll be sitting by my Father there, but I'll also be in you. I'll be with you. The Holy Spirit will live inside of you. You'll be one with me. You go do what I did. I'm returning the authority that Satan stole. I'm returning it to you when you have faith in what I did for you on the cross. And when you come into the kingdom structure again, by the blood, when you come into the kingdom of structure again, now you will be anointed by God with the authority that we've taken back from Satan. And now I want to use you to go take back the authorities that were in Satan's hand. Here's the perspective we need to get. Before the cross, Satan owned it all. He deceived all the kingdoms of the world, and they were following him. And just for the record, even in the church, you had some very, very holy-looking religious leaders, and they crucified the Son of God. So Satan thought he had an inroad even to the church back then. Of course, little did Satan know God was manipulating the entire situation, because Jesus needed to die on the cross as an innocent person so he could take the authority. Satan broke the law. He didn't have the right, but he abused his rights, killed the Son of God, and that cost him his rights. Did you follow that? So now we're thinking, here's this new revelation. If we're going to follow the kingdom of God, if it's going to be like it is in heaven, we need to start looking around us. And look at the bottom questions. I hope you can see them. Look around you. Where does it look like God's kingdom is prevailing? And where does it look like the gates of hell are prevailing? It already came up. We watched the evening news. You heard me get irritated about it last week. New York passes the government, the laws of the land, pass a law that says they can perform late term abortions. And a man says, I'll let a baby die while it's laying there so I can protect the rights of the mother. Horrible. Outrageous. That is not the kingdom of God functioning like it does up there. Who do you think needs to go take that back? It's us.
Amen.
It's us. Now, well, let's keep going here. What is our role concerning thy kingdom come on earth? I'm going to introduce you to this new way of thinking about the kingdom. Don't worry, you don't need to run out and be the president of the United States. But can I promise you something? There are some of you in this room who God will connect with some people in political situations, and you'll know you are anointed and gifted of God to speak into their lives, and you will have an anointing to cause them to make some decisions that are godly instead of ungodly. When I get into next week's teaching, let me get over there. Here's some things about the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's on your outline there. What should the kingdom of God look like? What should we look like as we're pursuing our role in the kingdom? Number one, we're to be seeking the kingdom above everything else in our life. Jesus, the context for that teaching, the disciples were saying, you know, we've left everything to follow you. We don't have homes. We don't have food. What are we going to do? Jesus said, don't worry about food and clothing. Don't worry about a place to lay your head. He said, I'm going to take you, put the kingdom first. And God will make sure that you have food and that you have clothing, that you have what you need in this life. Doesn't mean we don't work for a living. We do need to work for a living. But what it means is, whatever you're doing to feed your family and put clothes on your back, if the kingdom of God is not a higher priority in your life, then the kingdom of God and its effect on the church has been undermined by the lies of Satan. Because God says, you put my kingdom first, I'm going to make sure you have every physical need met. When we get to this teaching, I'm going to show you for every seven mountain of influence, there's a main lie that the enemy has used in that mountain to twist what God, and try to pervert or distract people from what God really wants to accomplish through each of those seven areas. We'll get into that. For now, seeking first the kingdom of God needs to be a priority in every believer's life. What does that look like? I'll be teaching you that in the days and weeks and months ahead. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. What else is the kingdom of heaven supposed to look like? It should be spreading everywhere. It should be spreading everywhere. You say, well, we need revival in the church. We do. Let's believe for it every day. Let's worship in hopes that the glory cloud will come in and fill us with God's anointing. Do you know what we need that anointing for? So we can go out the door, and the other 6 days a week, the anointing of God will be so much on us, like a little bit of yeast in bread. How are you going to feel if half of your bread rises and the other half don't? Something has gone wrong. The point is, you throw some leaven in that bread, the whole loaf is going to expand. The kingdom of God is supposed to expand right out the door of the church, and it is supposed to affect the culture. More on that in the weeks to come. But anyway, number three here. 21:43. I think we're still in Matthew. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Jesus was talking to his Jewish brothers and sisters, the religious folks in Israel, in Jerusalem, and he said, and if you don't start bearing the fruit of being people of my kingdom, it'll be taken from you and listen to the wording, it will be given to a nation bearing the fruits of the kingdom of God. When America was created, or when it was being set up, as people were coming from around the world and establishing a foundation for our governments, for our education, for our everything, we were, by design of God, one nation under God. It's in our government, it's in our most foundational doctrinal documents. The government was established to keep us, to provide for us the liberty to worship God, and particularly the Father of Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible. That was God's intention. He said, nations bearing the fruit of my kingdom are where I will establish my kingdom. So what can we say about the kingdom of God? We are compelled to seek it. We should be expecting to see it spread everywhere. And we should expect to see it received by nations. We want America to receive God's message on America being a nation that reflects the kingdom of God that is in heaven. That's the goal we want to set for our lives. Here's the big one. And I said, it's time to own this. Matthew 25:14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Skip over to verse 20. And we understand talents were an amount of money that they used to trade with, but interesting that the word talents has stuck around, because when we talk to you about your gift from God, about your ability from God, we can almost use the word talent. God has given you something that you're good at, and it's something that you're good at falling out of bed in the morning. You don't have to work real hard to be good at your gift. You can study about it, you can pray about it, that'll always help. But you don't have to work real hard to be good at your gift. It's a gift that he's given you. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. We all want to hear that. And I want to attack the lie of heresy that says, well, I'm born again, I'm under the blood. As soon as I walk in, he's going to say, well done, good. No, he's not. No, he's not. It's connected to this commandment that says, I've given you a gift. I want you to use that gift. I expect you to use that gift. And there'll be a reward for you using it. And there'll be a punishment for you not using it. And I don't have time to debate heaven or hell. You know my bottom line. By grace we're saved through faith apart from works. This does not come against it. But let me tell you what this is supposed to do. It's supposed to rattle your soul. Because the comment, verse 29, to everyone who has more will be given. He will have abundance. From him who does not have, what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some of the hearers of this said, Jesus, you mean we're going to hell if we don't use the gift he's given us? Good. Have that conversation with God. He wants you to consider how important it is that you take the gift he's given you and use it and bring an increase. And what I love about, you want to have some grace, you want to have some mercy, but remember, grace is power freely given for you to do His will. You will never lack the power to obey Him. That's a heresy. If He asks you to do something, always, without exception, He gives you the grace, that's the power, to do it with. So if you take that gift He's given you, and you bring, He gave you five, you got another five, He gave you three, you got another three, okay, just don't hide it in the ground. Just don't let Him come back to no fruit produced. Because the teaching of this, well, I said it this way, only one conclusion from this teaching. What is my talent? What is my gift? What has God given me? And how do I use it to please the Lord? I want that ringing in our ears. Now, I've said to you for many years, every one of us needs to figure out what our gifts and callings are and start using them. You've heard that from me, huh? Come to church here 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to hear that from me. Let me tell you what I didn't know then, but what I do know now. And again, don't get mad at me. Well, why didn't you start preaching this earlier? Here, I'll give myself a way out. And I think it's valid. I said a while ago, in the 70s, I don't remember their names. One was a Cunningham. But anyway, the ministries, one was Youth with a Mission, still around today. Youth with a Mission. The other one was Christ for the Nations. Okay? And these, the pioneers of those, and they are now multi, well, I don't know how to put it. They're global ministries. They take high school kids and young adults right out of high school, and they put them on mission trips around the whole world. And for years, they have been a very powerful, very anointed, worldwide respected ministries from God. And in the 70s, the leaders of these two organizations, the people who founded them, were having lunch together. And it's not like they hung out all the time, but they certainly knew of each other and they were friends. They were having lunch and they just simply said, so what's God doing in your life? What's God talking to you about? And the one says, well, I've been getting something from the Holy Spirit on these seven mountains of influence in the earth. The other one said, so have I. Dreams, visions. I'm here. So they had a big conversation. They went back to their parachurch organizations. They went back and they talked about it. They preached about it. And so they started a little bit of discussion, but it just didn't take off. And now about 10 or 15 years ago, the prophetic people, and these are respected voices on planet Earth in the Christian world, they began to pick it up. And somebody came up with a term, the Seven Mountain Mandate. And here's, again, I'm introducing it. All I want you to see, to me, this is the practical application of Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God here on Earth, like it is in heaven. I believe this is how we do it. If the leaders of those world organizations didn't start preaching it in the 70s, well, I don't feel so bad that I didn't either. But now by a prophetic, please get this, by a prophetic move among God's prophetic leaders, this is picking up steam all over planet Earth. And to me, we got to hear this for Jesus to come back. We saw on one of our videos, I don't know if anybody said amen or not, prophetic strategies through the year 2050. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want him to come back tomorrow. Yeah, we all do. But here's what I loved about that statement being made. I you've heard me say, I sure hope I see him split the clouds. I sure hope I do. But if that keeps me from setting up a kingdom structure in my community, that'll be a good place for my children and my children's children, and so on and so forth. I ought to be setting up the kingdom of God to operate in Carbon County like it operates in heaven, so that the gates of hell don't prevail against my children and my children's children. Because if he said, I want you to take the authority that I've given you. In the Garden of Eden, I said, subdue the earth. Do you think our government could use some subduing? So it starts acting like something under the influence of the kingdom of God? Yeah, I think so. Do you think our education system could use some subduing so it starts encouraging the following of God and Jesus Christ rather than outlawing it, yeah, it could use some influence. So according to this teaching, there are seven mountains of influence. The economy, that's the business world. Government, you know exactly what that is. Family, religion. We think we know a thing or two about family or religion. Wait till you hear what I start off by teaching on family and religion. I can't even think about getting into that today. But I feel like from the Holy Spirit, I will... Well, what I'm going to show you next week in this teaching, what is the devil's number one lie that he's used to steal the authority from each of these mountains? Because Satan wants to be the top of a mountain. He sure does. He thought he could take God when he was in heaven as an archangel. He thought he could take God. He wanted to overwhelm and overrun the kingdom of God. Are we surprised he wants to do it down here? He looks at us and says, I can get them to sign up with me. And he tempts us. And on each of these mountains, he has an authority structure set. You ever wonder why a good politician, we all love him, we voted for him, we believe him, he becomes a congressman or a senator, and he goes to Washington, D.C., and we say, what happened to the guy? Well, the authority structure on the mountain of government is clearly set up. There are lies that are designed for people to buy into, and without knowing a thing, they're sucked into that authority structure, and all of a sudden they start acting like they never acted before. We need to start taking the attitude that says in every one of these, again, spheres of influence, they call them, mountains that shape culture and that shape kingdoms, they are in place on these seven mountains. Let me say this again. Let's plan on this. I'm going to teach what Satan's number one stronghold is in the mountain of family. And if you've bought, most of us buy into it. Good Christian people, we buy into it. It's about one thing. I'm going to introduce that to you next week. Religion, supposed to be what it is. I'll tell you what the lie. I'll tell you what the lie is in each mountain. And I've already seen some fruit on this. You know what? Well, I'm trying to be careful here, but in the mountain of arts and entertainment, you know what the number one lie is there? Christians can't have any fun. So people in arts and entertainment will provide some fun for the world because Christians can't have any fun. We know that to be a lie. I'm about to turn 66, so I didn't just turn 65. But here's my point. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my entire life. And I know what God has created me to do that produces joy and fun in my life. And I do it all the time with the blessings of God. Don't tell me Christians can't have fun. My wife says we got to stop him from having fun long enough to get a little work done every now and again. And by the way, God is teaching me on that. I'm doing better. Another story. But if I experimented with this. I was having a conversation with somebody, and the Holy Spirit said, just say something that shows them. Have you been around me? People might think Christians can have fun if they know me. They might think they have too much fun. That's all right. But I tried this. I experimented with it. I said to this person something about us just having fun. And you could see the anointing, and you could see all of a sudden a wall that may have been there at a certain level just started going down. Because I dealt with the lie. And here's how you're going to find out what your gift and calling is. Let me see if I covered. Let me see if I got. Oh, I do. I got one more. The goal of this teaching is that every one of you in this church identifies what your gift and your calling is, and you begin to operate in it. You've heard me say that many, many, many times over the years. I've never been able to teach it with this seven mountain thing, but God has given me the timing for it. Is now, here's what it's going to look like. When I tell you what the lies are that are associated with each of those mountains, some of you are going to go, well, I can go fix that. Oh, you need somebody to show somebody that Christians can have fun? I want to do that. Now you're chasing your gift and your calling. Did you hear that? You'll say, well, again, next week, I don't know how many of them I'll get, but I promise you, I'll address the lie that Satan has on the mountain of religion and on the mountain of family. Two things you don't want to miss: the second coming of Jesus Christ and next week's teaching. You need to hear it. You need to hear it, because you're going to look at your family and we're going to look at our church and go, you'll never be successful in that lie against me or my family or my church again. And it'll be that simple. But I'm declaring this over you by the Spirit of God. As we talk about the lies that are on the seven mountains, you're going to go, God, use me for that. Now that's your gift. God, I ain't going to do that. Doesn't mean you got to get elected president. It means, oh, that's the lie in government. I'd like to speak against that lie. Open it. Oh, boy, this is the Holy Spirit. I'd like to speak against that lie. Open the door for me, Lord, and you'll see him swing it open. And every single one, no matter your personality type, don't have to be like me, every single one of you will see a door swung open by God, and all of a sudden you'll be a... Now, oh, wait, did I point this one out? I got to go back. Did I say that 100% of you have been given a talent? 3% are called to church ministry, pastors, teachers, evangelists. 3%. That means 97% of you who are sitting here are called to use your gift and your calling and your anointing. You're called to use it out there. And it doesn't mean you get a board that says turn or you're going to hell. No. It just means God used me to speak to that lie. And you start watching for God to give you opportunities for that out there in the world. 90, we're all called, 3% right in here. 90, Zach, everybody got that one? All right. Here's the note to end on. And the Holy Spirit clearly took me to this. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And it would not be incorrect to say children of God. That means all who are born again through faith in Jesus Christ and who come into the family of God. What's creation waiting for? And that's not just the church folks waiting for this. This, the creation. That means the rocks and the plants and the trees and the rivers and the mountains and all the animals, everything that's alive is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope. There's such a huge teaching there that I don't have time to give just now. In the creation itself, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The world is in a mess because the corruption that is in the seven spheres or the seven mountains of influence, the corruption is there because the church has not got the anointing and the revelation to go take those mountains and establish them as kingdoms like the one in heaven, but operating here on earth. The bondage of corruption, go from that to the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creation is waiting for us to come into a level of maturity as God's people that we're going to be letting him use us to establish his kingdom here on earth, so the way it operates down here resembles the way it operates in heaven. That's what Jesus is coming back to. And that's why I say, given the teaching, given the revelation, given what I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit, if we could get this thing moving by 2050, that will be a grace of God situation like we've never seen before. I don't know the day he's coming back. I don't know the hour. No one does. But how about we take the mentality that when he comes back, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I've given you a gift. And here I am, and you're using it, and you're creating an increase with what I've given you. Never mind how much. Don't compare it to anybody else. All you do is Take what he's given you and start looking for, how many times did it come out? This is the year for bearing fruit. We're going to see good fruit. Even in the trials, we're going to see good fruit. Okay. When we start seeing fruit, we set our eyes on using our gift and our talent. We start seeing the fruit of that. Let me tell you how it's going to take off. Once God starts using you in your gift, and it'll be right out there in the world. You'll have 6 days to be used of God with an anointing, and you'll see the fruit of it. I mean, I think we whoop it up pretty good in here on Sunday morning. We really do. But wait till all of you are out there healing the sick and casting out demons. And you know what? Even if you're not the big production stuff, you start saying, who told us we should watch that movie on minimalism? Who told us we should watch it? It was a great movie. It was a great flick. Nothing Christian about it. Great. But you know what I told Terry? If somebody feels called to the mountain of economy, and that doesn't mean you got to get a job as a... You know what it means? You know what it means? It means you'll have an anointing to speak to somebody who's a businessman. He's working himself to death to provide for his family, and he's losing his family and doesn't know why. You take that message on minimalism, you take that, and you, nothing Christian about it. You don't have to quote any scriptures. You just go in and say, hey, I just watched this movie, and it says, gee, I can see you work real hard to provide for your family. I see you wearing yourself out to give your kids a better. Hey, why don't you watch this? And all it simply does is give you a perspective that says, maybe I don't need to work the hog so hard to have so much, because maybe I could be happy with a little less. Now you've got a word for the business world that's working itself to death and isn't feeling much better at the end of it all. When you start letting God use you for those kind of things, you're going to be so excited about it. And he's going to come back, and you're going to be using his gift. You're going to be using the talent. All right? Anyway, I think we'll have to end. I probably, knowing me, I have one more. No, we're done. I never know how to end. Okay. I sow this word in the good ground of your heart. This was the introduction. Jesus taught us that we're to be about the business of establishing his kingdom here on the earth. I believe this teaching we're going to have a look at over the weeks and months to come is going to do that for us. Give us some vision about it we haven't had before. That's okay. The timing for it is now. Let's pray. Father, again, I declare this word is sown in the good ground of our hearts. I declare that this word will produce good fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I declare we will see the fruit of your word. This is the year that the word is changing our lives. This is the year that Jesus is sanctifying and cleansing us by the washing of water from his word. And I declare we will be sanctified and made whole. We'll be made like Jesus by the work of the word in our lives. I declare that over us. I declare that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I declare that the will of God, the purpose of God, will come to pass for us as individuals and for New Life Ministries as a church. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us. Some of you need some prayer. There'll be some folks over here to pray with you. I'm here if you need me. God bless you.